Supreme Court has done did and done dude. All right, welcome to the show tonight, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries. It is drive time here on another hot and apparently going to be a stormy again, Central Florida evening. All right, I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lucas Paris, who has the Periscope up and running. We are coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Boy, do we ever. The Supreme Court, as I predicted on this show, I know as recently as last week when Mike and I were talking about it, that the Supreme Court has upheld the language in the Unaffordable Care Act, or as Justice Scalia now calls it, the SCOTUS Care Act. But we'll talk about that. We'll go over the numbers, and we'll talk about the significance of this and why it wasn't too difficult to predict this one. Nonetheless, the Supreme Court has upheld the language in the Obamacare Act. We're also going to have on the show today with us B. Brian Blair. B. Brian Blair, of course, a famous professional wrestler, wrestled with and traveled with, literally, in the same car with Dusty Rhodes. So he knew Grace has some great stories and knew Dusty Rhodes quite well. He's going to join us later on in this hour, and we'll hold him through a little bit into the next hour of the show as well. But, of course, you are welcome to call if you have some opinions on the Supreme Court decision or anything else out there right now. You know the number, or in case you don't, it's 407-774-8255. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. He's in there doing calisthenics, getting ready for his show tonight, WDW News. Of course, that'll tee off at 8 o'clock live on our sister station, 1520 WBZW. So make sure you catch up with Nick LoCicero there. Like I said, go ahead. If you like, give us a call. Of course, at any time during the show, you're welcome to do that. Like I said, we got a lot to talk about. We'll talk about the Supreme Court thing, and then I also later on in the show want to talk about what I'm calling "Give them an inch, they'll take a mile." You know, this furor over, if you will, over the prohibiting the Confederate battle flag from flying just about anywhere is now extended to monuments. Including the one downtown here in Orlando at Lake Eola, which most people probably didn't even know was there until now. So if they had kept their big mouths shut, then nobody would care because they wouldn't know it was there anyway. So, I mean, what's the difference?
Apparently, it's more oppressive now that people do see it and know it's there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But it's worth talking a little bit about tonight. And we also going to talk about the school cafeteria black market. This is a microcosm, if you will, of the phenomena of prohibition and how it is being played out, not just on the streets of America, not just in the burgs and the states of Mexico and South America and around the world. It's being played out in our very lunch rooms of our elementary and middle schools, elementary, middle, and high schools, evidently. And we're not talking about drugs or alcohol.
Where there's a demand, there's a supplier.
That's right. Where there's a demand, there's a supply. I'll just give you a hint. The Hunger Free Kids Act, Michelle Obama's main piece of her inspiration, if you will, to the world, has a lot to do with it. So if you'll just take that lead, you'll know what the black market goods are. But anyway, we'll talk about that later on in the show. Once again, the Supreme Court, in a monumental decision, I mean, bam, bam, 2 days in a row, we've gotten what I consider to be extremely troubling news from Washington, D.C., having to do with the future of our country and commitments that are being made for us by the powers that be. Evidently, the Illuminati or somebody reached down and touched Chief Justice John Roberts. I guess it wouldn't have mattered with him anyway, because it was a 6-3 decision. John Roberts, Kennedy, and the three liberals, which would include Breyer, Kagan, and Sotomayor, they all teamed up against Scalia, Alito, and Thomas. in deciding that the language in the Affordable Care Act, state and federal, actually mean the same thing.
Huh.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Ha.
Uh-huh. The words state and federal now mean the same thing, according to the Supreme Court. I guess it makes Bill Clinton a little bit smarter when he asks that word depends on what the, or said, depends on what the meaning of the word is, right? Because the Supreme Court or some court could come along and just sort of change things up. Is can mean ain't, perhaps in some situations. Because state and federal
mean
the same
thing.
According to these six Supreme Court justices. And now there's two reasons why I thought this would happen. Two, there would have been huge disruption in the healthcare business and industry had they decided otherwise, which, by the way, Alito mentions, I mean, Scalia, who, by the way, wrote the dissent. John Roberts himself wrote the majority opinion. Scalia wrote a dissent, and he basically, you know, excoriated Roberts' arguments and his reasoning for upholding the language and saying that state and federal mean the same thing. But I revealed on this show, you know, a long time ago when I was in college, I studied 2 years of Marxism out here at the UCF under one of the most prominent Marxist professors in the United States at the time, Dr. John Reiser. And learned fairly early on that in Marxist language, state and federal do mean the same thing. In Marxist language, state and federal do mean the same thing. So perhaps, I don't know, they were referring to Marxist judicial decisions or some Marxist writings or something. Because in Marxist writing, when they refer to the state, they were talking about the federal government. Our federal government is unique. Most countries have a state. They don't have a federal government. A federal government is a government of states coming together in a confederacy, if you will, to organize themselves to better protect borders, to help facilitate trade, and, of course, for security. Many countries don't have that system, so they don't have a federal government. So state does kind of fit, you know, most things. But in our society, in our country, in our heritage, state and federal were two very distinct things. The states make up the federal government. But they are distinct and separate from. That's why we have the 10th Amendment and all that good stuff, right? But not according to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has said, well, even though we know that state and federal supposed to mean something different, we know that these folks over there really meant the same thing. And so we're going to help out the you know, the doofuses over there, and we're going to fix it for them, and we'll go ahead and say state and federal means the same thing because we know that's what they meant. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not what the Supreme Court's supposed to do. They're supposed to live by the letter of the law, not the supposed intent. Because how do you determine the intent? Well, one way might be to call witnesses and hear testimony. Like this guy, what was his name, Johnny Boy Gruber? You know, slick Johnny Boy Gruber, who went around the country bragging about how they did mean different things, that they did not mean for the federal government to provide subsidies because they meant to put political pressure on governments in the states to do it. So the states would be stuck with the bill in the long run rather than the federal government. Because another little lie that Johnny Gruber hid was that they know that this is going to balloon the cost of health care. Contrary to what the president said today, where he called this a victory for hardworking Americans. It's hardly a victory for hardworking Americans because they're going to take it up the wazoo. And ain't going to be no doctor around to give them any relief. The Supreme Court does this. That's why nowhere in the Constitution does it say that the Supreme Court should have this authority. It all came from one of the first decisions by John Marshall, the first Chief Justice. But we can get into that lesson some other time. But the bottom line here is, and we'll once again we'll go through the reasoning and the dissent after the break. But I want to go to the phone line right now. We'll go ahead and take Eva's call. And Eva, thank you for calling this evening.
Yes, I want to say our country's gone down the hill thanks to John Roberts. I will never, never support a Catholic. Never.
Well, now, hold on a minute. Hold
on. No, I'm telling you, he's done it.
That has nothing to do with his being a Catholic.
No,
you cannot make that statement.
Listen to me. Don't cut me off.
All right, go ahead.
Let me explain what I mean.
All right.
As far as the Supreme Court goes, we have three or four Catholics on the Supreme Court. And I think it went 6-3. Is that the right?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Scalia and Alito are Catholics themselves.
Exactly.
And Thomas might be. They were the dissenters. They are the ones who made the right decision.
I understand that.
Okay.
But the thing of it is their religious view played an important part in their decision.
If it had, the other Catholics would have sided with
Scalia
and Thomas. Yes, they would have.
No, they don't.
Why?
Because we're all different, and we all take our religion different. It's personal.
This has nothing to, I'm sorry, Eva. You're losing me on this one. This has nothing to do with their Catholicism. This has everything to do with their legal upbringing, shall we say, and their political upbringing. And,
well, that's right. But they each had different upbringings, and they each had their families have different priorities.
Yeah,
and
well,
so you just walked into what you were telling me I was wrong for.
No, I don't think so. Because once again, you had two, if not three, Catholics who were dissenting, in other words, voted against the law, the language, and you had three, I believe, who voted for it. So I still don't see your point here.
I'm trying to make my point, and please forgive me, because you're more educated than I am, and that's why I think the difference is, because most of the people that are up there, they are who their parents raised and how they raised them. They may have a little more influence by the people they've met since they got out on their own and all this stuff, but that means there's six Supreme Court justices that are activists. And something else that I smell. Remember John Roberts, when he was given Obama the oath of office? He had to give it two times. I think there's something going on there.
Well, there's something going on, but it's not good law practice, that's for sure. Okay, Eva, thanks for your call. I appreciate it, and thanks for trying to clarify that for me. All right, if you'd like to join the show, once again, the number is 407-774-8255. I'll try to break this down a little bit more when we come back from this break. All right, welcome back, folks. Hi. Are we ever on the crazy train? Yeah, that's for sure. I got this from Carl during the break. He says, hold on just a second. Let me get this new thing on this thing. All right, here we go. Carl says the decision has nothing to do with Catholicism and everything to do with the new religion, leftism. John Roberts is a leftist. I don't know if he's a leftist, but he sure is accommodating to them. That is for sure.
Leftianity?
Yeah. Let me go through a couple of things, and we'll take Ed's phone call. Ed, hold with me just a second here. Once again, it was a 6-3 decision. John Roberts teamed up with Kennedy, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan, and then Scalia wrote the dissent and delivered it today, and he had teamed up with Alito and Clarence Thomas. And in the court today, Roberts delivered his opinion. He wrote the majority opinion. Scalia wrote the dissent, and he delivered it, and it was a hushed courtroom as he ripped and tore Roberts' opinion to shreds. He called it wonderfully convenient because, once again, the court I'm sure, was taking into consideration the disruptions this would have caused, even though that's not supposed to be in any way, shape, or form part of the decision-making process. They read the newspapers, too, you know. Also, he said it was wonderfully convenient. He called it, and this is a quote now. This is not my phrasing. This is Antonin Scalia's dissent. So it's in the dissent. He called it interpretive jiggery pokery, which I've never heard that legal phrase before, and I've read a few of these opinions. He called it interpretive jiggery pokery. He said it's not the court's job to make up for sloppy drafting of the law by Congress. So that was it in a nutshell. Let's get Ed's reaction on the phone. Ed, thank you for calling.
Well, this week proved what I always knew, and I'm hoping the rest of the people out there start waking up. Obama has both with the trade deal and now this decision on Obamacare.
Bam, bam.
Obama has both the Republicans and the Supreme Court in his back pocket. And talking about, I don't care about Roberts' religion, who appointed Roberts?
George W.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's your problem. The Republican Party is right in the back pocket of Obama. They're marching to his tune. They are Federalists. They are statists. It's not leftism. It's statism. They're statism and they're Federalists. The anti-Federalists would have never stood for this. The anti-Federalists, it's Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson. They were actually for states' rights all the way. They would have been appalled by this decision.
Yeah.
So basically, we got to get the anti-Federalists going. When I go to talk to Tea Party meetings and go to Tea Party meetings, I tell people, hey, we got to get the Tea Party on its own. Get it away from the Republican Party. Let the Republican Party fall on its face. Because it had, over the last 115 years, it didn't make government smaller. It did not give any opposition. And this week proves it. The proof is in the pudding. Look at both of these decisions this week. Think about it. Move away from the Republican Party. Move away from their Federalists. Just let, and they're marching lockstep with Obama.
Yeah, well, there's always the Libertarian Party.
Libertarian Party's small, but I would love to see the Tea Party break away and then, like, the Libertarian, the Constitutional Party and stuff join with it, because that's 25% of the population.
I know.
And we could make a difference if we let the Republicans fall on their face.
Well, and then the Democrats would fall with them because they rely on one another. That's why I say politics is like professional wrestling. They get in the ring and they look like they're fighting with one another and beating the snot out of one another.
But there's no autonomy
there. As soon as they go behind that curtain and you don't see them, they're palling around and they're buddy-buddy.
Exactly.
The decisions are made. The decisions are made in the production trailer, not on the mat. So this is, it's the same exact thing, and you're right. We saw it yesterday with the and leading up to yesterday with the trade deal. Tremendously stupid decision for the Republicans to give that authority to this president, and possibly to Hillary Clinton, too, should she win the election.
They're making him look great. They're making him look great on his way out. And he's just going to be called out as one of the greatest presidents in history.
I know.
The Republican Party and the Supreme Court are marching right to his drum. And if the Tea Party doesn't break away, I would love to see somebody break away and run as the Tea Party, not as a Republican.
Yeah.
And that would be my greatest hope. But until then, keep up the great show, man. You do a good job out there, Chris.
All right. Thank you very much, Ed. We appreciate your call. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate it. We'll see what comes out with the gay marriage thing. I've predicted this, too. Now, we'll see. You know, I did get this one right. On the gay marriage thing, I think they're going to split the baby. I think that they're going to, there's basically two decisions that will be made. One has to do with, should states respect gay marriages that are performed in states where gay marriage is allowed? Let's say if you get married, a couple of gay people get married in, let's say, Massachusetts, and they come here to Florida. This was a recent problem here for the courts in Florida. When they come down here, are our courts supposed to treat them just the way they would, say, a heterosexual couple who got married in Massachusetts, should they need a divorce or some other court filed proceeding? The other decision is, should all states, is it a constitutional right in all states, regardless of state constitutions, for same-sex couples to get married? That I don't think that they'll go along with. I think that that'll be a little bone, if you will, that John Roberts will throw us. They will approve. All states are going to have to respect same-sex marriages, as long as they were conducted legally in a state that allows it. But I don't think that they'll go as far as to say that the Constitution allows same-sex marriage in all states. I don't know, but I was right about this one. They sure enough upheld the language in the Affordable Care Act. This terrible decision, absolutely terrible, terrible ramifications. Yeah, there would have been some short-term pain, but it would have been a long-term gain. Now we get some short-term relief for a long-term pain. Stick around, folks. We got a lot more to talk about.
AM 660.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Ho! Yeah, I tell you what, you want to go away from this country right now, don't you? But don't go away from us, folks. That's right. You got the American adversaries. I am Christopher Hart, along with Lucas Paris, who has the Periscope up and running. What's that channel again?
That would be American Adversaries TV. Just type it into YouTube.
There you go.
And as far as going away, Belize is looking really good right now.
By the way, they speak English down there.
Uh-huh.
And Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. And don't forget, he's got his show, WDW News, coming up here shortly on our sister station, 1520 WBZW, at 8 p.m. sharp. Yeah, speaking of sharp, it was a sharp dissent from Antonin Scalia, responding to Justice John Roberts' majority opinion, upholding the language in the Unaffordable Care Act. And the courtroom was silent and respectful as Scalia went through his dissent, along with, by the way, Alito and Thomas concurring on the dissent. He called the decision by the majority wonderfully convenient. He called it interpretive jiggery-pokery. That did not elicit any response, but when he got to the part where he said he called it, it was no longer Obamacare, it is now to be known as SCOTUS Care, that, of course, SCOTUS being short for Supreme Court of the U.S. At that point, John Roberts, who was seated directly next to Antonin Scalia, chuckled, and the courtroom followed suit and laughed. Laughter broke out in the chambers as well momentarily. There's no laughing matter, however. This is a terrible decision because it wasn't the right decision, legally speaking. You can question whether the decision last time about the income tax was the correct decision or not. Basically, that decision simply clarified what we all already knew, but what Congress didn't want to admit, and that was that the penalties are a tax. But that aside, this has clearly gone even further than that, because they have said state and federal mean the same thing, at least when it comes to the federal government and Congress. You know, they can be sloppy. You know, it's, what was the old saying? Good enough for government work or something like that. You know, because that always meant that it was lacking.
Yeah.
You shouldn't expect much.
Standards aren't high.
Exactly. The bar is way low down there, right? They don't have to go very far to get over that bar. But that's in essence what has been upheld by the Supreme Court and the decision, which was made weeks ago but was delivered today. The ramifications of this, course, now puts the ball back into the Republicans' court to do something about Obamacare. And by the way, it's imploding, or I should say SCOTUS Care. It is imploding of its own anyway, contrary to what the president said today about this decision holding down the cost of health care. It will only allow for Obamacare to drive the health care cost up. He said, once again, in another lie, he said this would hold the premiums down. Well, we know from news reports that next year all the premiums are going up. And that was before this decision was announced. It's going to get worse and worse. And the quality of the care is going to get less and less and worse. So it is going to implode in and of itself, and the Republicans are probably going to have their fingers stuck in their ears when that happens, and no plan or whatever. They are going to evidently pass next week another, and we'll see if they're going to do it in light of this decision. But they are supposed to next week once again. Oh, good old Mitch McConnell. Yeah, he's back on the game for us now. He's finished working for Obama. Now he's back working for us, and they're going to repeal. They're going to pass another repeal of Obamacare. Yeah, it'll be a worthless piece of legislation. Because as soon as it gets, if it gets to, but as soon as it gets to the president's desk, he will veto it, and he will, it'll give him a chance to stand up and be a champion. It's just stupid politics. Stupid. You've blown your chances. You've wasted it. You had your chance back when it was the government shutdown. Well, we can't do that. We can't go along with that Ted Cruz, man. Nah, he's a pariah. Nah, we don't want to do that. We want to do what the establishment wants us to do. We want to, you know, we want to go along to get along. You know, we still got to do some things with this Obama fella. You know, we can't be upsetting the boat. We want the public to see that we know how to govern. Ha! If you call this governing, I'll take not any day of the week over this. But you know, so the Republicans, you know, up there in Congress, you know, they're playing this little tiddlywink games, just like the professional wrestlers. You know, they get behind the curtain and laugh at all of us. And by the way, the liberals are doing it too, just like Gruber. They all think we're a bunch of stupid idiots. And this decision today by John Roberts was addressed to a bunch of stupid idiots because that's what they all take us for.
And political marks all of us.
Yeah, and Ed was right. You know, they're all working in cahoots. And we do need to go in a different direction. Guy like Ted Cruz is screaming and hollering for that different direction, which is more and more do I like him. This decision was a disastrous decision, just as the Congress's decision yesterday to give this president and the next one, which they could have waited until the next one. I mean, there was no deadline. It was self-imposed drama. But Carl's got a good response here. He says, talking about the Supreme Court justices, they're human too, no doubt. Power is an electrifying mistress for those that have no moral compass. Yeah, it's very intoxicating, that's for sure. And then certainly these people are intoxicated with it. But this once again, the Supreme Court, this is not nothing new. Let me rephrase that. You can't say not nothing new. This is nothing new. This is not unique. If you study constitutional law, you will see that in many decisions over the years, the Supreme Court has bent over backwards to accommodate, shall we say, the political will of the day. Dred Scott is an example of that. And there are other examples. There are the examples during the progressive era. They upheld prohibition. It's nothing new. So can't blame it all on John Roberts. You would like to expect something more out of these Supreme Court justices. You would like to expect them to be what they are when we appoint them to the court and not somehow, you know, go through some sort of metamorphosis. And it always seems to be the conservatives metamorphosizing into liberals, like Breyer, appointed by H.W. Bush, like Roberts, appointed by W. Bush. Well, of course, you got Thomas, who was appointed by H.W. Bush, but you would like them all to stay true to their philosophy, which is what put them on the bench. We don't put them on the bench to suddenly decide to be somebody else. But that does happen. As Carl says, they are human. They get caught up in it, and certainly they get pressure. They were getting pressure from this White House. There's no question about that. But one thing that we can say for sure under this presidency of Barack Obama, and that is that the power and the scope of the executive branch of government has grown to a level I don't think even existed under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The power of the executive has grown tremendously. Now, of course, the Republicans aren't all against that. Now, they come out with all this blather about, oh, he's signing these executive orders, and he violated the Constitution, and he can't be trusted on this, and it's a lousy deal with Iran. But he knows what he's doing when it comes to trade. Yeah, well, all of that other stuff, yeah, that still holds true. But when it comes to trade, he's our man, Barry Obama. If he can't do it, nobody can. Oh, my God. What have we done that we have elected such blithering idiots as this? Yeah, we need something different. We need something different real bad and real quick. Because we are sure enough going over the falls. It ain't going to be pleasant going down either.
There's rocks down there.
There's rocks down there. There's deep water down there. And there's things that you don't even want to know is down there waiting. And we're heading there and lickety split. And we need to make them pay. We need to make them pay at the ballot box. And we need to do it right now. I mean, this election coming up. So, and we need to get the right people in there. If we get Jeb Bush in there, this stuff's going to keep going on. If we get John Kasich in there, this stuff's going to keep going on. If we get Rick Perry in there, maybe not. If we get Ted Cruz in there, definitely not. Same with Bobby Jindal. I don't think he would play this game either. That guy's got, he may look soft on the surface, but he's pretty tough underneath. And once again, Supreme Court today has issued its opinion, its decision, I should say, it really is an opinion, that the Affordable Care Act language doesn't really matter. We all know what they meant anyway. We all knew they had good intentions.
State, so, federal's the same.
Yeah, state and federal, that words, they don't mean something distinct anymore. They mean the same thing, at least when it comes to this.
The dictionary begs to differ.
Yeah, that's right. The good news is this really just applies, I believe, to Obamacare, other than that it sets the precedent that basically, the Congress can write a law giving the president as much power as they can, and the Supreme Court's not going to stop him from doing it.
Typos be dashed.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, earlier Ed mentioned something about, you know, states' rights, you know, and federalism. And, you know, in the Bill of Rights, which, of course, is the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, guess which one was last? States' rights.
Yeah.
The 10th Amendment, kind of like an afterthought. Well, I guess we'll throw that in there. It's not going to mean.
States' rights, yeah.
Ain't going to mean nothing. Yeah. We'll throw it in there anyway. Because if it's in the, if it's interpreted even to be in the federal Constitution, it don't matter what the states want to do. We shall see when it comes to gay marriage. I'm going to go out on a limb because that's, as Will Rogers says, that's where the fruit is. We'll go out on a limb. I do think that the Supreme Court will rule that all states must respect marriages that are same-sex marriages that are conducted in states where it is allowed, as long as they're conducted legally there. But I do not think that they will go as far as to say that same-sex marriages are a right given in the Constitution. I could be wrong. I'm more often than not when it comes to the Supreme Court, but I dang sure got this one here right today, and I sure enough wish I hadn't. But nonetheless, we'll talk more about it when we come back. If you want to join the conversation, 407-774-8255. We're going to have B. Brian Blair join us. If you want to talk about a tough guy, he's a tough guy. And by the way, he was not just a professional wrestler, but he wrestled in the political ring, too, and was elected to the Hillsborough County Commission over there. And through his good, hard efforts, was able to save that county $1 billion.
There you go.
There you go. Bingo, dingo, dango. And what was that again? Interpretive jiggery pokery. That's going to go down in the annals of legalese.
Filed under BS. Yeah.
Well, actually, that was a part of the right.
All right.
right, welcome back to the show, folks. I hear that music. That must mean it is time for B. Brian Blair. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer. Real quickly, though, I'd like you to join me tonight. Starting, the doors open actually at 6:30. The event starts at 7. I'll get there as quick as I can after the show. Dr. Stephen Massoud, a man who was actually, his father was going to cut his head off in Pakistan because he had gone from being a Muslim to a Christian. And when they put him on the donkey where they were taking him down to get his head cut off, the donkey bolted and ran off. And then a Pakistani intelligence officer ended up helping getting him out of the country. If you want to hear that and much more about Dr. Stephen Massoud, go to Doc's Streetside Grill tonight. Doors open at 6:30. That's Doc's down there on South Orange right across from Orlando Health. Let's go down to B. Brian Blair. Brian, how you been, my man?
Oh, yes, sir, Christopher. You know I'm doing good, and I'm so humbled and so honored to once again be on Orlando's right-on-target political radio show. And, you know, I've been from ocean to ocean and coast to coast, just like you know. And the American Adversaries are without a doubt the guys that are informed the most. And thank you so much for letting me be on your show again, and I'm ready to talk politics. I'm so happy to be here again.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to have you back, Brian. Now we have 2 hours in the afternoons, Monday through Friday, so we're going to have time that we can get you on a more regular basis. How about that?
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. Let me come back down to earth, and I heard you talk about Dr. Stephen Massoud. That guy, that's an interesting topic. And if any of your listeners out there have the opportunity to go to where Chris is going to listen to Dr. Stephen Massoud, you're going to be very entertained.
I do think so. It's a fascinating. I mean, this guy, you know, God is active in all of our lives, but in this guy's Amen. Life, I mean, it's a lot more clear than most instances. Hey, Brian, real quickly, the big news today is the Supreme Court decision. Were you surprised?
Well, absolutely, I would say, I don't know if I was surprised.
Yeah.
I do know a couple of things. Obama was happy,
yeah.
But Hillary's going to have to bear Obamacare, or if you will, SCOTUS care. I don't like the way the Supreme Court is handling things in America. Right now, our entire political system is as broken as it's ever been. And I know there are people weeping in their graves right now, weeping in heaven, wherever they are, the people that put the Constitution together, the great people that fought for this nation, bled and died for our nation, to see what's happening to our nation. And if it wasn't for good people like you and Lars and Laura and all the good people that, you know, speak up, Fox News, people that really tell the truth that get trampled on all the time. You know, we got to have more educated voters. That's the bottom line. We have to organize and have more educated voters, and we need to straighten this out. And I know you're at the head of that army.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that, Brian. And it is. You're absolutely right. It is. A lot of the fault falls to the voters, you know, for putting these fools in power and keeping them in power. You know, one thing that Roberts did say not the last Supreme Court decision, but the last monumental one having to do with Obamacare, where they upheld the fines as a tax. He said, look, you know, you have the power to vote these guys out if you don't like what they're doing. But we never seem to do that.
You're exactly right. And I think this is going to be the biggest wake up call. I'm so glad that Donald Trump entered the race.
Whether
you like him or hate him.
Yeah.
I am so glad that he entered the race because he is
he's a straight talker.
He's about as anti-political as they get.
Right. He's a straight talker. Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, I've been in politics, you know, dabbled in politics for 6 years, and I understand what goes on, and we really do need somebody that doesn't. Isn't supported by, you know, the special interest groups, and somebody that has a track record of building a business and doing good. And at first, I would have not given Donald Trump a thought. But the more I see that guy and the more I'm listening to him, either somebody needs to start adapting to his principles, because there are some great candidates in the Republican field, but Donald Trump is speaking the truth.
Yeah, he is. And like I say, he's a straight talker, and that's what appeals to people about him and you know, candidates like him. Is
and that, he has the pageantry about him, too.
And he does. He does have. He understands, you know, he knows what it's like. He's comfortable in front of a camera. And you have to understand that angle of it, too, don't you, Brian?
You absolutely do. I mean, there are so many people. I mean, I like Ted Cruz, too. There's a lot of people I like on the Republican field, but there are so many people that gave to my campaign, for example, and they would come to me, and, you know, you've got to you at least listen to them. And they have just that point alone gives them a one-up on the average American that's going to cast a vote.
Right.
And, you know, I can honestly say I was a very, very honest politician. I saved Hillsborough County over $1 billion that's audited over a 10-year period. And I fought for the taxpayers, but the liberal media, you know, they lie and they trample and they attack. And yeah. It's like the liberal machine that Hillary will have, that Obama had. They're going to come and they're going to attack. They're going to lie. They're going to twist the truth. And it's just... It's a shame the way that people get elected and how they get elected. It scares me. I just hope this wakes up the Republican base. And, of course, you have to go after the independents. I mean, they make the difference. And in this case, the Democrats, too, because, you know, there's a lot of Democrats that don't like Obamacare. I mean, their doctors
right.
believe it, and their premiums are going up. There's
yep.
a lot of stuff happening right now that I think is going to – this may turn out to be a blessing in disguise.
You know, that thought just crossed my mind as you were saying that. You know, I'm lamenting the decision, but at the end of the day, you know, as Obamacare sort of implodes on its own, they may have done us a favor by making the thing, you know, they're not going to save us from ourselves kind of thing.
The healthcare balloon payment.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be, I believe, a painful process, but nonetheless, I think you're onto something there, Brian. I think that there is a silver lining in this, in the sense that people are going to become even more and more disgusted with it. So, you know, the president is happy today, but in the long run, of course, as you said, though, he won't be around, you know, to suffer the ramifications of people being outraged because they've lost their health care and they can't afford it anymore. Hey, Brian, stay with us and we'll get to you. We'll talk to you again after the break. All right. Okay, so Brian's going to stay with us, and we'll pick up the conversation with him on the other side of the break. Once again, come on down to Doc's Streetside Grill tonight. The doors open in just a half hour at 6:30, and the presentation starts at 7. Dr. Stephen Massoud, it's a fascinating testimonial. It'll bring tears to your eyes, I'm certain. So, folks, I hope to see you down there. I'm going to scoot on down there as soon as the show is over, and hope to see you there. And I hope you'll join us on the other side. You are listening to the American Adversaries, coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roll on a honey.
Show. That's right, folks. You got the American Adversaries. It is drive time on AM 660, The Answer. We are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in general dentistry, health center dentistry, and Mercury Free dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. I am Christopher Hart. I'm joined in the studio this afternoon by Lucas Paris.
Hey, hey.
He's got the Periscope up and running. Where can they see it?
American Adversaries TV on YouTube.
And Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. Don't forget his show, WDW News, coming up live on 1520 WBZW, our sister station, tonight at 8 p.m. B. Brian Blair is on the line. I'll get back to him in just a minute. Once again, if you haven't heard the news, if you're just tuning in, the Supreme Court today has upheld the language in the what is now to be known as the SCOTUS Care Act. That's Antonin Scalia's opinion. As he wrote it in the dissent, the majority opinion was written by Chief Justice Roberts in a 6-3 decision with Scalia, Alito, and Thomas dissenting. They basically said, in a nutshell, state and federal now mean the same thing. They are no longer two distinct words, at least when it comes to the Affordable Care Act. In his dissent, Scalia called it wonderfully convenient. He called it an interpretive jiggery-pokery decision. He says, not the court's job to make up for sloppy drafting of the law by Congress. And he says, we should no longer call it Obamacare. We should now call it SCOTUS Care. That's it in a nutshell. So it's a done deal. Unless the Republicans can muster the political might to do something about Obamacare, we're stuck with it. Even as it implodes, of course, we'll go down with it in the process. Brian, once again, thanks for being with us on the show. We appreciate it. And, you know, you said a mouthful when you said we need to educate voters. Voters need to know a little bit better who they're voting for. And they need to know that the many of the candidates, you know, they're just putting on a show, that at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do. And they're just going to tell us what they want us to hear to get elected. As one of our colleagues, he texted me earlier, he said, one of our callers earlier said, you know, we need to pull away from the Republican Party, need to have a different party. But Carl made a point. He said parties aren't going to matter. They're not really the problem. The problem is we're not electing moral people. Carl said that should be our first criteria. The slow solution will come from a party. We need to elect people of good moral character. Would you agree with that?
100%. And I would also like to say, Chris, that the Republicans have an obligation if they're going to downplay and ridicule Obamacare or SCOTUS Care, as it's going to be called for at least a few months moving forward, possibly till 2018. Hopefully this will all wake up the voters, but the Republicans have to have a replacement plan that they can talk about, that they can sell to the American people, that makes sense, that will keep businesses thriving and keep people employed. And I tell you, America's in for a rude awakening if they keep moving in the direction that we are moving in now. Parties don't matter. You know, I love my dad's a Democrat. I love him. I kiss him every day. He's fed up with what's going on. I have independent friends that are fed up. Of course, I'm a Republican. I'm fed up with what's going on. You said it when you said we have to elect people with moral character, moral fiber, and people that are going to go in and do the right thing and not listen to the lobbyists and not listen to the people that gave to their coffers.
Yeah, amen to that. You mentioned earlier, you know, the Republican candidates. It is a big field, a lot of quality candidates. Who are your top three favorites out of the Republicans right now as it stands?
I'd say, I like Marco and Jeb. I'll put them in one character because I'm a Floridian and I'm here. I like them in a way, but they're politicians. I like Ted Cruz because he's got a lot of gumption, he says a lot of intelligent things, and the liberal sector of the media loves to trash him, but he's a very intelligent guy. And I'm telling you, I'm going to watch Donald Trump. That's who I'm going to watch, big time.
Yeah.
Because you think about what he's done. And think about the fact that he's not going to owe anybody anything. He's going to be surrounding himself with intelligent people, if he were there, that would make the right decisions. I mean, he's not a dummy. This guy's a smart guy. Anybody that's worth $9 billion didn't fall off a turnip truck.
Well, amen to that. But, you know, I echo what you said, that I think he's good for the process because he is a straight talker. And if he makes it into the debates, and it looks like he just might very well, I believe that the other candidates are going to be parlaying off the things that he says, not the other way around.
You hit the nail on the head right there, Chris. I guarantee you they will be. Nobody, it's goes back to what this whole show program has basically encapsulated in the fact that we have to educate the voters. The voters need to take the time to not just read the newspapers, but look at CNN, look at Fox News, look at everything they can. Go to there's some great websites out there that people can go to that tell the truth, and you can verify things by Snopes and other places, but be an informed voter. And vote. I don't care if you're registered to vote. You need to get up and vote. The Democrats have a tremendous ground campaign. It's like the UFC. The Democrats are like the UFC. They ground and pound. They have a great ground campaign, and they pound you to death with negative BS. We need somebody that will emulate the good part of that, if there is any good part of that. But the main thing is getting the vote out and developing that ground and getting the ground together. And be on message. Be on target. Don't BS us. We've been through that.
Yeah, amen. You're right. And to get back to real quickly to the Obamacare thing or SCOTUS care, you're absolutely right. You know, the Republicans were scrambling around and trying to reassure us that they were going to come up with a plan should the Supreme Court decision have gone the other way. They were woefully unprepared. And that's what troubles me the most, is that they always seem to be playing catch up, you know, playing from behind. And not leading from behind, but at least playing from behind. And it's hard to, you know, it's hard to score big when you're back there.
I agree, Chris. You know, we need somebody that has a vision, has a plan, gives us a no-nonsense, I don't care if I hurt your feelings answer, because I've had I'd rather be told the truth than somebody lie to me and make me feel good or try to make me feel good. I'd rather they told me the truth, and here is how we're going to do it, and here's how we're going to get America back to the America that our founding fathers believed in, and the America that has made us the greatest nation in the world, the most envied nation in the world, the nation that everybody wants to come to and raise their families. But, you know, it's just, we got to be informed.
Yeah. By the way, folks, we're talking with B. Brian Blair, professional wrestler, champion WWE wrestler, and also champion Hillsborough County Commissioner. Champion because he saved that county $1 billion as audited over 10 years. Brian, you mentioned Jeb and Marco. You kind of put them in the same category. Real quickly, do you? I know you kind of have your ear to the ground when it comes to politics over there on the West Coast. Are you hearing where there's more support for one than the other?
Well, I see a couple different polls where, you know, Jeb's ahead a little bit, but I kind of see Marco as a great vice president. We need to secure the Latino vote. Now, I tell my kids, learn Spanish. You know, it is what it is. We have some wonderful Hispanic people that have hundreds of years of roots in this country. And then we even have new people that immigrated legally that are not just Hispanic, but of all ethnicities that have immigrated here legally that are being productive citizens. And we need to have that person that can go capture and talk and resonate to that group of people, because that's a very, very large group of people. Was it 20%?
It's getting there. Yeah, you're right. It is a large group of people. And I, you know, I've always kind of seen him as a great VP candidate as well. And then, you know, groom him and then, you know, 4 or 8 years, put him on the top of the ticket. But do you think that Jeb, because Jeb was the governor of the state, he still has strong political ties, especially in South Florida. Do you think he has the edge when it comes to the two of them in Florida?
Well, there's no doubt that a governor knows how to run a country, a county, a state better than a senator or you know, somebody that has been in the House of Representatives, because they've had to balance budgets, they've had to do all the grunt work. They know what it's like to meet a budget. They have to do it, and they have to sign off on that budget every year.
Yeah.
Granted, the Senate and the House, you know, help, you know, put things in, but you've got that veto power at the end, and you understand what makes everything tick more so, I believe, than a senator or somebody from the House of Representatives.
All right. Hey, Brian, while I still have a few minutes left, let me change the topic of the conversation here. Of course, you were at a friend's funeral last week, Dusty Rhodes, Virgil Runnels. I know you wrestled with him. I believe you wrestled against him. I know you traveled with him in the same car across the United States. Just tell me what your thoughts are about Dusty.
I love the Dream. I have some great stories that I can't tell on your radio show.
I know you told us a couple of them. Yeah,
I did tell you a couple of them, and there's so many things that him and I did, and so many different jokes that he played on me, and so many different. So many long, long road trips together with not just Andre the Giant, but, you know, other guys in the business. But the Dream is, he's like family. You know, I babysitted his nieces for 2 years, and when we were at the funeral, I mean, everybody got together, and it was just like unreal, like this wasn't really happening. It was so surreal. And,
Brian, you know, obviously, on those long road trips, you would have long conversations with one another. Yeah. He was the American Dream. Why was he the American Dream? Why did he want to be the American Dream?
He came to Tampa in a Cadillac with Dirty Dick Murdoch in around 1970, let's call it that. It's in give or take a year or two. And he was a bad guy. And he eventually, you know, Murdoch turned on him, and he became a good guy, and he was the son of a plumber. You know, he wined and dined with kings and queens and slept in alleys and ate pork and beans, and he related to the blue-collar person. And every Tuesday in Tampa at the Armory and every other big town, Orlando at the Eddie Graham Sports Stadium, didn't matter, Jacksonville, wherever we were at, the people loved the American Dream because they could relate to him. And in a way, it's political. He could have run for mayor of Tampa and won hands down. I mean, people trusted him. They believed in what he was selling. And that's why he became the American Dream.
What was he like down in his heart? What was he like?
He was a wonderful man that cared about everyone. He was not jealous. He knew he had the star power to maintain his status, you know, at all times. I mean, even when Vince tried to dress him in polka dots and yellow polka dots, I mean, he still was the American Dream.
You put him over, in fact.
Yeah.
He was a gentleman, and, you know, he went to West Texas State University. He was an intelligent guy. Cody Runnels and Dustin Runnels, his two sons, are doing well for WWE.
Yeah.
And, you know, he called me up a couple weeks ago and said, Brian, I'm so excited, you know, that you got inducted into the Dan Gable, Lou Fez, and George Tragos Hall of Fame in Iowa in July. If I can, you know, I may come with that. I would love to see you honored. And he talked about coming to the Cauliflower Alley Club to make his appearance there. And he was into what he was kind, and he knew exactly what I was doing. And he did that for not just me, but for DDP, for just about, you know, you can just go down the line, all of his students from NXT were at the funeral. Everybody loved Dusty that knew Dusty.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll leave it there, Brian. Thanks very much for sharing all that with us, and thanks for being with us on the show, and we'll get something set up where you can be with us on a more regular basis.
Oh, that'd be awesome, man. I appreciate it. God bless you guys. God bless your listeners. I notice that you've got a lot of new sponsors, and that tells me that you're doing the right thing.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it, sir, and I'm glad to have you as a part of the American Adversaries Army.
Thank you, Chris. It's an honor.
All right. Thank you, folks. Or thank you, Brian. Folks, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks, right? Got a little exorcism music playing there for you. Actually, that's Tubular Bells, but it was the theme music from, of course, the music Exorcist, The Exorcist. And we need to exorcise some demons from Washington, D.C. That is a fact. I tell you what, we need to exorcise them from the halls of Congress. We need to exorcise them from the White House. And now we even need to exorcise them from the Supreme Court. Okay, but you don't need to exercise us, folks. Keep that dial right there because we'll be taking a break here shortly. That segment ran a little long. By the way, we will be on the airwaves right up to 7 o'clock tonight. The Rays are off today, so you don't have to worry about going over to the internet. If you're listening to us on airwaves, you can continue to do that. One thing you will not be able to continue to do is see Sarah Palin as a Fox News contributor. They have not renewed her contract, which, you know, I haven't seen her much on there recently anyway, but Sarah Palin is no longer under contract with Fox News. So we'll see what she does to stay involved in things. Hopefully you're on your way to or just arriving at Doc's Streetside Grill so you can catch the live presentation by Dr. Stephen Massoud, a man who grew up in Pakistan as a Muslim. And then in his early 20s, he began to question his faith because it did not satisfy his normal thoughts and questions about life and in particular about the afterlife. So he began to experiment, if you will, by reading the Bible and other scriptures, and then began to debate the imams, and they didn't like that, not at all. And then when he converted to Christianity, they had his father arrange a meeting where he came to his parents' house, and they, in essence, captured him and put him on a donkey, painted his face black. His father was, they were taking him out so that his father could cut his head off, so that his father could cut his head off. They were laughing and mocking and taunting him along the way, and they had put him on a donkey, and the mocking and the taunting got the donkey nervous, so the donkey started kicking people and took off with him, and in essence saved his life. And then a Pakistani intelligence officer eventually helped him get out of the country. That intelligence officer is now dead. If you want to hear that and a whole lot more about Dr. Stephen Massoud, you are on your way to Doc's Streetside Grill, or you can still get up. You have time to get there. The presentation starts at 7 o'clock. I'm going to head on down there as soon as the show is over here shortly. The Supreme Court today has upheld the language in the now SCOTUS Care Act for the purposes at least of this piece of legislation. The words federal and state now are interchangeable, kind of like the words male and female. They are now interchangeable, too, and to a certain extent, the words black and white. Ah, this world is upside down. We got a lot of demons, and we sure enough need to exorcise them, and the best way to do that is to be informed, and one of the best ways to be informed is to listen to news talk radio, shows like this very one right here, and by being a member of our army. All you got to do is go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, head over to the recruiting office and sign up, and for a mere $5 you can be one of our soldiers and help us do this every day. Well, at least 6 days a week. We'll be right back.
This is Sunny, the California girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. These guys are sexy. and smart.
And we're back. And you can see for yourself. You just go to YouTube and type in our channel, American Adversaries TV, because Lucas Paris has us up and running on the Periscope. Right, Lucas?
Yep. We had a little bit of a snag there, but they're up now.
Okay. All right. And we're live, and we'll be here till 7 o'clock on the airwaves. No Rays tonight. They have the day off. They need it after dropping 2-1 decisions to Toronto. But that's for another show. 407-774-8255 is the number. Christopher Hart is the name, and the American Adversaries is the show. All right, real quickly, you know, we were talking about having, we need to educate the voters, and we need to start young, folks. And if you have a child in public school, if you can, try to get that child into a Christian school, and you can do it at half-price tuition. And these are great Christian schools all over Central Florida, from Sanford to Kissimmee, and all points in between. And AmazingRadioDeals.com is where you can find out more about them. AmazingRadioDeals.com. By the way, not just half-price tuition, half-price AC, half-price choppers for your mouth, and a lot of other things. So go to AmazingRadioDeals.com. But if you want to specifically talk about half-price tuition or any of these things, call Bill Files. He's the state manager here. He'd love to help you out. His number is 407-618-1760. Bill gets you set up in a great Christian school at half price. 407-618-1760. I think we've talked enough about the Supreme Court decision. The next, of course, big decision will be the one on gay marriage. It'll be here by Tuesday. We'll have that decision by Tuesday. It may come out tomorrow morning. They normally issue these decisions at 10 o'clock in the morning. And if it's a big decision, they'll read it in the court. And if there's a dissent, they'll read that in the courtroom. They don't do it for every decision, but they did do it today for the SCOTUS care decision. And I'm sure that they will do it when it comes to the gay marriage decision as well. So that'll either come tomorrow morning, Monday morning, or at the latest, Tuesday morning. And no matter when it does come, you will hear all about it here. And by the way, Stephen Gushov of the Liberty Council is on standby, so to speak, so that when we get that decision, he'll be able to give us the Liberty Council's perspective on it. Once again, I predicted this decision today. I thought they would make this decision, and wished I had been wrong. But at the end of the day, it puts the ball right back in the political arena where, you know, that's where it started and that's where it's back. We can't rely on the Supreme. The lesson here is you cannot rely on the courts to do our political battles for us. We must do them for ourselves. And as Carl Jackson said, we must elect people of good moral character to carry our battles for us. Otherwise, we are going to be sadly disappointed over and over again, just like we were yesterday when the Republicans, you know, who this president is a dastardly dude, except when it comes to free trade. Then somehow he's a great guy. It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't work for me anyway. I think as far as the gay marriage thing goes, I think that they will say that all 50 states have to honor gay marriages that were conducted in states that do allow it as long as it was conducted legally. But I do not think at this point they will go as far as to say that same-sex marriage is a constitutional right, kind of for the same reason that they made this decision today. And what did Alito call it? Wonderfully convenient. So I believe that John Roberts is going to throw us that bone. Could be wrong. Certainly this Supreme Court is willing to do anything for whoever, but not for the conservatives and not for, you know, good legal standing. But that is as it is. Meanwhile, the furor over the Fuhrer, no pun intended here. The Fuhrer over the Confederate battle flag and taking it down is now expanding into front page of today's Orlando Sentinel. And I don't know if I mentioned this on the show last night or not, but anyway, the monument downtown at Lake Eola. Seems like I was talking about this with Mike McBath earlier in the week. I don't know if it was on the air. Do you remember if it was on the air when I was talking about that monument downtown? It wasn't. Okay, we must have been doing it during the break. But downtown at Lake Eola, on the east side, there is a monument to Civil War soldiers, Confederate soldiers. And it's in pretty sad shape. It's like a cement statue. And by judging by the picture in the paper, it looks like it's filthy. No doubt they don't take good care of the thing and won't be taking good care of it now either. And they're going to debate whether, and by the way, it's a 104-year-old memorial, whether they're going to take that thing down or not. I would not be surprised if they do. This is having a snowball effect. It is what I call give them an inch and they'll take a mile.
Let's destroy history because it's offensive.
Yeah. We don't want to look at our history, you know. No, heaven forfend that we understand where we came from and where we're going.
The mistakes we've made.
And the mistakes that we've made. Absolutely. The whole Civil War thing is, everybody thinks it was all over slavery. It was much more complicated than that. Far more complicated than that. But nonetheless, to get back to what I was saying, we have now anti-Confederate history fever, and anything having to do with the Confederacy is now up for debate whether we should keep it as part of our lexicon, our culture in any way, shape, or form. And you might say, well, let's let them have it. You know, it's the Confederate stuff. You know, people get offended by the battle flag and all of that. And how they could get offended by Daisy Duke shorts, I don't know. But they got offended by the General Lee.
Yeah, right. All I can say is that if we're going to choose to forget something, you know, that dooms us to repeating it down the road.
Exactly. I mean, they keep concentration camps over there in Poland and Germany, so we don't forget about that.
Germany never wants to forget.
Nope. And I know Israel doesn't want to forget. Nope. And the North should never want to forget the South. And so, but we are doing just that. But the problem is when you allow it so easily and so freely to be done over the Confederate history, how far are we away from letting it be done over American history in general? I mean, look at this president. This president is diminishing our role in the world as a political player, as one of the main players in the hegemonic order of the world. In other words, we're giving up our role sort of as the superpower, the top dog. And of course, his reasoning for that is because we have so messed everything up. Of course, you look at his solution; it doesn't look much better, but that's for another day.
Another argument.
Exactly. But the point is, and of course we know that President Obama wants to go this route because we're all citizens of the earth, not of the United States. We're citizens of the earth. So at what point is it going to become popular and politically correct to say that the Stars and Stripes is no better than the Stars and Bars? In case some of you folks don't know, the Stars and Bars is slang for the Confederate battle flag. The stars and the crossing bars, get it? Okay. How far are we away from saying the Stars and Stripes also offend people? How far are we away from saying the Stars and Stripes, you know, takes us back to a time when we dominated and we colonized the world as though that were had anything
when
to do
with the Stars and Stripes
the truth.
Going up against the Union, Jack.
Yeah, that's right. So we need to be real careful about this. We need to be real careful about this. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that we should be sitting here telling South Carolina what to do with the battle flag over the monument, the memorial, whatever it is. But I am here saying we need to be careful about getting carried away with this sort of thing in the moment, in the heat of the moment, the emotion of the moment. And remember that one reason why we have three branches of government and two houses in our legislature, our Congress, is so that it slows everything down, so that we don't make rash decisions in the heat of the moment. We don't have mob rule. Isn't that what we are going through now? Isn't that what liberals are all about? Mob rule. Even when the mob is a minute portion of the population, it's okay because they're a mob. and we should let them have their way because they're a mob. So it's troubling to me when I see on the headlines of the front page of the Orlando Sentinel, we had nothing to do with what happened up there. And when you get right down to it, the Confederacy had nothing to do with what this kid did. It was a bit player in a much larger play, if you will. And yet this is political opportunism, you know, and we have Republicans who have no backbone, no spine. You know, with few exceptions, Dan Webster is one. Dan Webster, I'm real proud of. If we had more, Dan Webster is a man of strong moral character. And for that, he's being punished in Washington, D.C. by Bonehead Boehner. So Bonehead can be a bigger boy. You know, he can be a bigger, badder boy. Big, bad Leroy Brown, the baddest man in the whole damn town. Well, we need somebody to come along and take him down. And I tell you what, we need to do it because we can't leave it up to the people in Washington, D.C. That's the fact of the matter. There's no question about that. We need to demand better out of our candidates, and we need to make sure that we get it. And at the end of the day, John Roberts, last time when he made a decision about Obamacare and the penalty being a tax, he's right. You know, we still have the option at the end of the day. And it's an uphill battle. There's no question about that because we're fighting two parties, not just one. And but nonetheless, it is the Lord's work. And so we should go about it, you know, with smiles on our face at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, God still is in charge. And as long as we have faith, we'll be okay. All right. Once again, I hope you're on your way to or are at Doc's Streetside Grill for Dr. Stephen Massoud's presentation tonight. I anticipate getting over there, I don't know, probably about 45 minutes or so after the show. But there'll be plenty of time to catch Dr. Massoud, and hopefully you folks will join me over there for that. And hopefully you'll join me after this short break, because we got another segment of the show to do. And I'm going to tell you about the school cafeteria black market, what that's all about.
I can't wait.
You're going to go down there and try to get some of that black market contraband, aren't you?
Maybe.
All right, stick around, folks. We'll be back. You might run into Willie the Wimp over there in the halls of Teague Middle School. Or Lake Bradley High School, or Winter Park, or Boone, or Colonial, or one of them. Willie the Wimp was a mobster up there in Chicago. When he was buried in a Cadillac coffin.
I've seen pictures of that.
Coffin made to look like a Cadillac. He had rings on, diamond rings on every finger, and $100 bills stuffed in between them, tucked in between his fingers. All right, so you might find Willie the Wimp strolling around the halls of your local public school.
And the next generation of it, anyways.
Why might that be? Well, you know, if you've ever studied Prohibition, you would understand what's going on in the halls of our schools, because the school cafeterias have been turned into black markets. And this is a story in the Washington Free Beacon. And hold on, I just lost it here. Let me pull it up here again on my smart device, which is making me look pretty stupid right now.
That is the nature of technology, Chris.
I was going to say, it ain't very hard to do that, though, is it? So
it takes me a couple of weeks to learn the new e-reader that we seem to come out with every other year.
All right, here it is, Free Beacon. What it is, of course, the Hunger Free Kids Act. This is Michelle Obama's gift to the world, the political gift to our world anyway. It is, you know, it is reducing salt, sugar, and other things in school lunches.
And thus appetites.
And thus appetites. So let me just read you a little bit from the article here. It says, children are creating their own black markets to trade and sell salt due to First Lady Michelle Obama's school lunch rules.
Oh, my God. They've literally gone back to old school trade. That was like the first big resource people used to trade back in the ancient times. You traded salt.
That's right. Salt and sex. They haven't, yep, gotten to the sex yet, but they're working on the salt, pepper, and sugar.
Oh, that's for high school.
There you go. Easy does it there. During a hearing, that was Lucas Paris that said that. During a
I'm
hearing,
sorry.
Send all those hate mails and emails to Lucas Paris. Anyway, during a hearing before the House Subcommittee, this is the Federal House Subcommittee on Early Childhood Elementary and Secondary Education, chaired by Representative Todd Rokita, a Republican from Indiana, a school administrator told Congress of the quote-unquote unintended consequences of the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act. Perhaps the most colorful example in my district is that students have been caught bringing and even selling salt, pepper, and sugar in school to add taste to perceived bland and tasteless cafeteria food. And it's only perceived that way because it is tasteless and bland cafeteria food, said John Payne, the president of Blackford County School Board in Hartford City, Indiana. The contraband economy is just one example of many many unintended consequences, including tremendous food waste and a lot less kids participating in the school lunch program, and even parents making sure by taking their kids out of school at lunch that they get a decent and tasteful lunch.
It's bringing families together.
Yeah, but see, the bottom line on this is when you outlaw things that people want, there's going to be a black market for it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a good thing that we're teaching our kids to be Willy the Wimps in school because we've outlawed, in essence, salt, pepper, and sugar?
Sugar.
Oh, honey. Yeah,
we've created our own monsters, and we're doing it now at literally the elementary school level.
That's right. It's the same principle, though, you see. The same principle. This is my problem with prohibition. It's not that I want people to be doing a lot of salt, pepper, and sugar. It's that you create a criminal environment when you make it illegal. And that's what is going on in our schools, because we have made salt, pepper, and sugar illegal. And by the way, her reasoning for that is the same reasoning for keeping marijuana, cocaine, and all these other things illegal. It's because people don't know how to use them. We can't be trusted with it. You make it illegal, and you create a huge criminal element as they buy product from it. And guess what? They still get it. They still do it. This is just reality playing out in front of us by the most innocent amongst us, right?
Yeah.
They're not being so much motivated by money as they are. They want the doggone salt, pepper, and sugar.
It's a great case for praxeology. Praxeology is the concept in economies that people do things. Who would have thought elementary schoolers would create a black market?
No, they didn't create the black market. Michelle Obama and the Hungry Free Kids Act created the black market. That's what I'm talking about.
They were the catalyst.
Right. People didn't create the illegal drug trade. The government created the illegal drug trade. And the government has the keys to the solution. But they don't have the will.
Legalize it. Legalize the pizza.
And that's right.
I have research.
So it's a lesson in human beings in a nutshell.
Yep.
All right. Speaking of lessons,
we're rebellious by nature.
Yeah, really. Did you hear about the rapper Rick Ross?
No, I can't say I have. That name's not ringing any bells.
Speaking of names for rappers, that's a pretty mundane name for a rapper.
Yeah, it
Rick
sounds kind of clean. That's like kind of almost more 80s style rapper name.
I mean, aren't they supposed to have names like Lemon Juice or Soda Pop or something like that?
No. I mean, you have like Eminem, then you have like, you know, there was a Dr. Dre, but he was technically out of the 80s.
Soda Pop would be a great rapper name. Soda Pop. I mean, pop raps with, I mean, rhymes with a lot of stuff. You got pop, you're popping, man. I'm Soda Pop. I think I'm gonna stop being Christopher Hart. I'm gonna be Soda Pop.
Just so you know, whenever you cut a track, most of that can't air over the, air.
I'm gonna be Soda Pop, and I'm gonna be black on Mondays and Tuesdays. I'm gonna be a Native American on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and I'm gonna be an Asian American on Fridays and Sundays. And I don't know what I'm gonna be on Saturdays. Probably drunk.
Oh Lord.
Anyway, back to the mundane named Rick Ross, the rapper. He has just upped his street cred.
Oh.
Yes, because he was arrested Wednesday on kidnapping, aggravated assault, and aggravated battery charges in an incident at his suburban Atlanta mansion.
I don't think that's street cred. I think that's a life sentence. Don't you get life sentences for kidnapping?
He's a rapper. This is street kid. This is gangsta. You know, he is accused of beating a man in the head with a handgun, chipping his teeth, and mangling his jaw, authorities said. It wasn't immediately clear whether Ross, the mundane name rapper Rick Ross, has an attorney. A message left at Maybach Music Group, Ross's record label, was not returned Wednesday. Well, if he's living in a mansion and he is has anything to do with a record company, he knows attorneys. Whether he has one or has been sued by them, I don't know.
And he needs to get one fast now.
But he just upped his street cred. Now all he needs is a new name. I still think Soda Pop's a good name for a rapper.
How about Behind Bars?
This just in, Michelle Obama bans Soda Pop. Oh, well, so much for that.
Yep.
All right, I think I'm going to go out and buy some tonight and start peddling it up on the street corner. Okay.
Street value on that's going to be amazing.
Indeed it will. Okay, I hope I'm going to see you at Doc's Street Side Grill. Don't forget, Luke. Nick LoCicero, he's going to be rapping on WDW News up the dial at 1520 in 1 hour at 8 o'clock. Catch him live. Lucas Paris has got us up on the Periscope. See us on our channel on YouTube, which is?
American Adversaries TV on YouTube.
Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative, AM 660, The Answer.